Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Yashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabaal. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost parts of the river of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely, them beyond the river by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep, and it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings, it shall be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither for the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Well, this is an interesting passage. It's very difficult in some of its particulars to interpret because of the prophetic nature of it, especially in verses 14 and following. But let's take a look at a couple of things. First of all, Ahaz is fearful. Syria and Israel are confederate against him, and they pose a formidable threat. There are two passages that are parallel to this, 2 Kings 16 and 2 Chronicles 28. Now, there's a bit of a challenge chronologically, but it's not insurmountable. And if we consider this account here to be more thematic and less chronological, it is easily reconciled with those historical accounts. I bring that up because if you go to your Bibles and you read 2 Kings 16, 2 Chronicles 28, it seems to be out of order with this passage here. But that's because Isaiah is not speaking chronologically. He's speaking prophetically. He has certain emphases that he will bring out. All right, so the Lord sends out Isaiah to meet him, to meet Ahaz. And although it is not mentioned in this passage directly, we learn from those other passages that Ahaz will seek a confederacy with Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser. That he will seek that for support. And so in this historical context then, we have, first of all, Israel and Syria joining their forces. Israel being the northern kingdom, and Judah in the southern kingdom, and it is King Ahaz that is over the kingdom of Judah at this point. And he looks north and he sees Syria, not Assyria, but Syria, two separate nations, Syria directly north, Assyria north and east, sorry. Assyria north and east, I always do that. Assyria north and east, a different nation entirely. So Syria and Assyria are two different places. We need to remember that. So he looks to the north and he sees Syria and Israel coming together and they're going to come south and they're going to attack him. He's afraid. So he says, well, maybe I should develop a confederacy, a treaty, a joining with the most powerful nation on earth, the Assyrians. I should probably do that to protect myself. He's thinking like a king here, but he's thinking like a secular king, isn't he? Because his first salvo ought to be what? Maybe I should seek to the Lord. Maybe I should call his prophets. Maybe I should call Isaiah into my court and let's talk this over and see what the Lord would have me to do. But he doesn't. His first salvo is to seek Assyria. And if you read those other two accounts, you'll see that. So notice, he doesn't go to the Lord, but the Lord goes to him. The Lord sends Isaiah the prophet out to meet him. And where is he? Well, he's at the conduit of the upper pool. What is the conduit of the upper pool? What does that mean? Well, he's probably up there taking a look at the water supply and how easily it will be for Israel and Syria when they come down to shut off the water and starve out the city. In other words, to cast a siege against Jerusalem. That's probably what he's looking at. He's planning on his defense even right now, but he has still not sought the Lord. So the Lord sends out Isaiah to meet him, and he meets him at the conduit of the upper pool. That kind of sets the stage as to where we're at here. Now, the Lord tells Isaiah something very interesting, very specific. He says, and take your son with you. Take your son. You know, he's a little boy at this point. Take your son with you. Why? Because just his name will have comfort for the king if he will hear it. What is the name? She'ar Yashuv. A remnant will return. Of course they will be confederate against you, Ahaz. And of course they will come and attack you, but the Lord will preserve himself, a remnant. He will preserve his people. Will you be satisfied with that? And Ahaz doesn't seem to be very satisfied with that. So Isaiah goes out to meet him. He meets him at the upper pool, and he brings with him She'ar Yashuv. And he says, for the head of Syria is Damascus. And what the Lord is telling Ahaz here through these statements is, they're not coming south. They're not going to set up headquarters here. The head of Syria, it's Damascus. That's where it's always going to be. The head of Israel, it's Samaria. And that's where it's going to be. Don't worry about it. They're not going to come here and make Jerusalem their kingdom. It's not going to happen. The head of Damascus is Syria. The head of Israel is Samaria. Don't worry. Those boundaries are not going to change. And so he prophesies that those kingdoms will come to an end, but the kingdom of Judah will go on. And then the Lord asks Ahaz this interesting question. He says, will you ask a sign of me? And the Lord is inviting Ahaz to ask a sign of him. Ask me a sign. You need a sign to make sure that what I'm telling you will come to pass? Ahaz, I'll provide that. The Lord is stretching himself forth toward Ahaz here. And what does Ahaz do? Ahaz says, I don't need a sign. Now, he says, I don't need a sign, not because he is so full of faith. He's saying, I don't need a sign because I can take care of it myself. Thank you very much. That's what Ahaz thinks. I've got my plan. I'm going to Assyria. I've got this thing in motion. Leave me alone and let me execute my plan. And notice Isaiah's response to that. Hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? The Lord has invited him to ask a sign, and so the Lord would prosper his word to him and confirm his word to him, and the king of Judah is simply not interested. Now, it's a very interesting phrase, isn't it, that Isaiah uses, will ye weary my God? It's the same prophet in Isaiah chapter 40 who's going to say, the Lord doesn't get weary. So what does that mean? Will you weary my God? In other words, will you try his patience, right? Will you try his patience through your continued faithlessness? Brothers and sisters, you hear that? You hear that when we refuse to believe in the Lord? Well, I know what God has said here, but I'm fearful. I just need to take care of it myself. That's to try his patience. It's to doubt his fatherhood and care over us. And that tries his patience. And so, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And so, what Isaiah does here is Isaiah reasons from the present into the future and then back into the present. The sign that the Lord will give, it won't be in Ahaz's day, but there will be a sign that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and we will call his name Emmanuel. Of course, Matthew 1:23 makes it very clear. We have an inspired interpretation of Isaiah 7:14. We're not left to guess who that son is. That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Isaiah does is he looks forward to the birth of Christ and he says, seeing then that this is the sign that will come, the virgin will bear seed and we will call his name God with us. In other words, every covenant promise that God has made is going to come crashing forth in this virgin that gives birth to this son that is called Emmanuel. Why are we put to fear today? Why should we fear? If God will do that, surely he will do for us today what we need of him. Surely we need not worry about those kings. They will be forsaken. So it is this kind of reflexive move that Isaiah does with this prophecy. And commentators are very much divided. If you're really interested in digging into the passage in our library, we have Joseph Addison Alexander on the book of Isaiah. Get it out. Look up 7:14 and see how he goes through. There's a very good discussion in that particular commentary on the various interpretations of this passage. If you're interested, it's there. But I think the best way to understand it is this reflexive. So he looks forward prophetically to the birth of Christ. That's the sign that God's covenant promises are inviolable. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, which is the promise of the covenant. And because of that promise being fulfilled in that Christ that will come, what do we have to worry about in these days? What should we worry about? Certainly we must go to him with our needs, not to Assyria. You know what's going to happen here from the days of Ahaz and onward, right? From the days of Ahaz and onward, we have Judah under threat for the rest of her existence. First from Assyria, then finally from Babylon. This decision that Ahaz makes here is a crucial decision. Oh yes, it's under the hand of the Lord. It's according to his providence and his sovereignty, without a doubt. But from this point forward, the decision of this monarch is going to ensure that Israel is under threat for the rest of her existence. Judah is under threat for the rest of her existence. All right, and that's what the rest of the passage goes on to tell us. The rest of the passage goes on to tell us of the difficulties and the trials that are coming now because Ahaz refused to trust in the Lord but went to the king of Assyria. What's going to happen in the days of Hezekiah, do you remember? Well, we're going to hear from Assyria, right? Yeah, Ahaz goes forward, tries to make a deal with Assyria. Assyria says, I like that deal, I want a little bit more. And so first Samaria falls in the northern kingdom, and then Sennacherib in the person of who? You remember? Remember his name? Rabshakeh. He comes south and surrounds Jerusalem in Hezekiah's day. And it is only by a miraculous intervention of the Lord that Assyria is sent packing. But, listen to this, in chapter 9 and in chapter 10, especially chapter 10, 2 weeks hence, we will hear what the Lord was doing in bringing Assyria south to Jerusalem. All right, thus ends the reading of Isaiah chapter 7. Let's